So the four speech precepts, what we're moving away from, what we're training ourselves to avoid is false speech, harsh speech, useless speech, and slanderous speech. So false speech, simply failing to be accurate. And well, I'll talk about what we're cultivating, maybe that's right. So we purify our speech with truthful communication, with words kindly and gracious, and with utterance helpful and harmonious. So firstly, one must speak the truth. Yeah? And it's very difficult to do. Where most of us think that we tell the truth most of the time. Most of us probably aren't out and out, you know. We're not doling out pork pies unrelentingly through the day. But we tend, I certainly tend, to slightly understate and overstate things all the time, to try and get some sort of emotional tone of something, you know, or kind of slightly exaggerate how long it's taken me to take a journey, or how quickly I've managed to achieve something, or, you know, it's kind of like, are you familiar with this? This just sort of very, very slight misrepresentation of situations, yeah, just to, in a way, there's a, you know, what one's trying to do is communicate a spirit of something, but actually what one does is one just fails to tell the truth, really. Yeah, yeah, we often
do that.
And
this is the second time I've done it.
And we have it a lot, and it's like, people keep telling me that they don't like so and so. This, you get this a lot. You're the chairman of the Buddhist Center, you get loads of, nobody likes the rupa, or nobody likes the colour that you've decorated the shrine room, or something like that. And it's kind of like, no, it means I don't like it, and a couple of other people I've spoken to don't either. We have to be very careful with this. Well, this is where we get onto the other precepts in a way, because the other speech precepts, because yes, people can use the truth very, very harshly, can't they? You know, it's kind of, I told him it, he didn't want to hear it, but he had to hear it. I don't wish to be cruel, but, which is always a lie, isn't it? It's kind of like, I don't wish to cause offence, but I fully intend to, you know. I'll come back to that, actually. I'll come back to that. Because often the whole business of white lies, we've got good reasons why we tell white lies. Oh, it's for them, as it were. It's to save so-and-so and stuff like that. But actually, it's to save us having complicated situations to deal with a lot of the time. It's to get us off the hook. It's actually more often than not, it's self-referential rather than genuinely based in concern for the other. But yeah, there are times when one needs to be certainly diplomatic about how one communicates the truth, and that's where the other precepts come in. So one wants to move away from harsh speech towards kindly and gracious speech. So that's this whole kind of the truth hurts kind of, you know, I'm going to give it you straight down the line, you might not want to hear it this way, blah-de-blah sort of stuff. It is possible to communicate with people in a way where you get across things that are important for them to know, which are perhaps quite delicate, even quite painful, without them being wounding, yeah. Without there being any malice on your part. I mean, quite often, you know, when we're grumpy with someone, when somebody's done something, and we want to sort of draw them up about it. They may well have done something which was inappropriate. They may well be behaving in a way which is going to be harmful to them as well as having been harmful to us. But generally speaking, it's not them we're concerned about. And what we're trying to do with this precept is to bring in mind, it's kind of like, well, how do we communicate this in a way which is actually going to be helpful to them? How can we communicate in a way which is going to be kind and gracious. No, that's a tricky one. That's a tricky one, isn't it? And that leads us on to useless speech, quite conveniently. So, useless speech. This used to be translated as frivolous speech. Well, I personally am quite glad that we are allowed to be frivolous. We're just not allowed to be useless. There are times when being light-hearted, you know, being quite frothy about things can be useful. But what we're trying to do is develop speech which is helpful. Yeah. So, what helpful, useful, or helpful in regard to what? Well, in regard to helping people to develop, actually, because that's really what we're concerned with as Buddhists. Yeah, we're interested in the whole business of development, the whole business of people transcending the limitations that they place upon themselves. And so that means almost all of the stuff that we do to fill the gaps, as it were. Yeah? This when you meet someone new, you have to kind of negotiate into communication with them. You have to get to know them a bit. You have to kind of understand who they are, where they're coming from, what sort of experiences they've had, so that you can talk to each other in a language that you each understand. But the classic thing about this, so you get this with guys, actually. You get this with guys that you don't know. You know, it's always kind of like talking about travel routes. You know, oh, we came on the M26, blah, 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 you know, all that sort of stuff. It's kind of like, all that Hello magazine is the incarnation of useless speech, as is Cosmopolitan and Red and probably the NME, actually. You know, it's kind of like newsstands are full of useless communication, stuff which really is not going to help anybody to get anywhere, really. The vast majority of what we say is utter tosh, frankly. I had a friend in Bristol once who, one has to be considered with all of this stuff. She found that she was trying to practice the speech, she just ended up not saying anything any of the time. You know, she just couldn't even speak. But yeah, just trying to be, I suppose the thing to do with that is to try and move towards more significant communication all of the time. Yeah, we stay on a level of safe, utterly pointless communication so much of the time, don't we? We witter on about house prices and congestion charges and blah-de-blah-de-blah, yeah. And actually, what's most rewarding, you know, one of the things in life which personally I find the most fulfilling and satisfying is engaging with people in serious communication, not earnest communication, but communication about what is most important to people, what people really care about, how they want to live their lives, yeah, what sort of people they want to be, how they're working on themselves, what could support people in working on themselves more effectively. When I'm able to have that sort of communication with people, it always leaves me afterwards. It always leaves me feeling like I've got more energy than before I started. Yeah, whereas often sometimes I can kind of meet up with somebody and we have quite a nice time, but we don't. You know, it's just kind of the energy just kind of drains away in all this wittering on about megabytes and sampling rates and have you heard this track and have you heard that band, or, you know, whatever it is. Who you fancy, who you don't fancy, whatever. So that's the whole kind of business about moving from useless speech to helpful speech. And then the most kind of insidious of them, really, moving from slanderous speech towards speech which is harmonious, conducive to harmony. So again, we live in a culture of dissing, don't we? Really? Particularly, I think this is particularly rife in two areas where it strikes me this is particularly rife. And with Christmas coming up, it's quite rife in the family, actually. There's always kind of having a bit of a go about the person who isn't there, or kind of. But where it's really, really savage is in the workplace. And if you've ever had anything to do with the theatre, then there it's absolutely, yeah, lovey types are really, really savage. Really savage. So basically, this is just the kind of, this is just that stuff about building oneself up by whinging about other people, really, by knocking other people down, really. And what that does, it's very interesting. I see this quite often. I see this in the movement, you know. If somebody I know has had a bit of a disagreement with somebody, or they've done something that they didn't like, when I meet them, I'm a bit suspicious of them. You know, if it's somebody I haven't met, and I've heard something about them that they're, then I'm kind of not very open to them. When I meet my friends' friends, who they've enthused about their qualities, who they've spoken in positive regard and been very grateful and appreciative of, then there's an instant openness that we have towards each other. And this kind of often, I've sort of very quickly connected with somebody who's a friend of a friend, just because we've both heard about the good in each other from our mutual friend, you know. And so there's a kind of, we're coming into a relationship with each other on the basis of what is wholesome within us, rather than coming into a relationship with that which is less wholesome. This is very hard to, it's hard to step out of in a work environment, particularly. I know a lot of people who've found that very difficult, and that kind of whinging about what a jerk the boss is, or complaining about the secretary, or kind of how the managers don't understand, or whatever, all that sort of stuff. It's a very difficult business to extricate oneself from. Because in a way you come across as being a bit prissy or something sometimes, and it's hard. But it's really divisive, actually. What it does is it separates us. And particularly in the spiritual community. I was talking to Jane in the tea break about kind of how there's this sense of, you know, maybe we haven't all spoken to each other. There's quite a strong sense of mutual trust here. It's very divisive of that. It really undermines trust in the spiritual community, this sort of thing. And it's so easy to do. Just kind of gossiping about things you've heard third hand or whatever. So those are the speech precepts. Being as honest as we are able, yeah, trying to just be factually precise in our communication. But when we're in communication with other people, trying to make sure that factual precision, as it were, is as much as possible kind, gracious, helpful, and conducive to greater harmony between people. So it's a bit sobering, isn't it, really? All that. I suppose I just find it sobering because I'm just made very aware of how remiss I am, actually, in terms of my practice of the speech precepts.